Talk to us about some of those metaphysical themes that you mentioned.
Well, this is always a big topic of debate. I mean, he was an extremely well-educated person. He studied, he had some very distinguished mentors at Washington State. And he was, you know, well-versed in classical philosophy. He was a very avid reader of Nietzsche. And I think Nietzsche is, you know, in my own view, is kind of the baseline for a lot of his thinking. Moving on from there to at least David Anfam, who is the major still scholar, thinks that that background led him into a study of classical mythology, and that some of the big mythical themes were important to the content of his painting or content of his thinking. But there, you know, I mean, there are things like, you know, clash of life and death and recreation and damnation and so on, not necessarily linked to a specific story or a specific symbol. But, you know, if you're thinking about them and you're trying to make your painting a pure instrument of thought, you know, how do you put all that together? And I think that's, you know, that's the puzzle of Still, and nobody has got the singular answer that is entirely satisfying.
But the museum is a huge step into beginning to understand that. The museum seems to me, and in our correspondence before this, you point out the George O'Keeffe Museum, similar to that, and other museums that are single artist oriented. But there seems to be, if nothing else, this is an incredible legacy for Clifford Still, that he would put in his will, and he will donate the bulk of his output to an American city that will create a museum specifically for the showcase and continued study of his work. That seems to me pretty stunning. And then you, when you see the museum and how beautifully it was done, you realize what an achievement that is.
Well, I mean, I think certainly there are lots of other artists who would have liked very much to have had their been able to make a similar kind of arrangement. And, you know, there is, I mean, Still had a very kind of persuasive argument about his entire body of work as a life, you know, and as a body of thought over time that goes back in time and forth in time and doesn't necessarily go progressively step by step in a kind of traditional organic development and so on. And so to be able to see what that life of thought was all about and how it was manifest in this particular instrument, he thought you really have to see the whole panorama. That's not necessarily quite the same as some of the other artists and thinking about, you know, being able to see a single artist's work in depth without distraction from others. And this is a kind of a hot topic for a lot of curators and people who are supportive of a number of artists. In this case, you know, you get not only his entire, well, the entire visual legacy that he decided to leave behind, but also all the, you know, books and letters and
so on. Ephemera.
Yeah. But, if, you know, it's a highly selective archive, even so.
By him.
Yes.
But deciding what he was going to leave behind.
Yes,
so he's basically deciding what is appropriate for us to see.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, obviously there are, you know, there's material in there that leads you to other kinds of insights and other kinds of bodies of information that, you know, he didn't necessarily have in mind as you know, this is where, how you would connect A and B. Things that we know that are left out are, of course, very intriguing as well. And sometimes they're left out simply because they got lost, or they were, you know, Still was a peripatetic guy in his career. And what I think is so amazing is, you know, he moves all over the country and lives in New York, and he lives in Virginia, and he lives in San Francisco, and he lives in Pullman, and then finally, you know, moves out to Maryland and to this farm where he collects all this stuff in a big barn. But, you know, it's, you imagine him as this kind of painter donkey, like these people, all this stuff on your back, you know, and moving it from place to place and moving, even if you don't move body A to body B, I mean, or location A to location B each time, you've got a body of work here, you've got a body of work there, you've got all this material to somehow organize and catalog and keep track of and conserve. And that's amazing, because he was an amazingly prolific guy wherever he was.